So I have a couple of handouts here locally, and you will see the subject I'm going to talk about today. It's a word we often hear. It can be defined in different ways, and everybody has their own mental image of what it's talking about, but I wanted to talk about it today. And we're all going to define it just a little bit differently. It's very important, and it has so much to do with the Days of Unleavened Bread because it's a quality of mind, of behavior that is very pleasing to God. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If we go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 4. Hear, O Lord, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. In verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. To have a relationship with God and to maintain the fluidity of that relationship and the closeness of that relationship, zeal must be a part of our lives. I really appreciated Mr. Carlson's message yesterday on resolve. So zeal and resolve are very closely related. They're brothers, you could say, because both are very, very important. And God emphasizes zeal quite a bit. And you cannot love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and might if zeal is not present. What God hates, one of the most hateful attributes of God that he hates is lukewarmness, or a tepid spirit, or a half-hearted spirit. Zeal is very important to him. Now, by zeal, I'm not talking about necessarily personality, though it can reflect itself in personality. I think in America, we tend to think of zeal as people who are loud or almost bombastic, but that isn't really the zeal of the Bible. We're going to see that today. Zeal is talking about an intensity and a determination. That's why I have this handout, and I just have a list of synonyms for zeal. And in red, I use those that appeal more to me, but we're all different. So we're not talking about a bombastic personality or a loud personality. You know, in America, there are many loud personalities. Doesn't mean they're zealous people. I was given this a lot of thought. I was thinking about the church and some of the most powerful speakers in the church down through the years. Very effective, powerful speakers. Men who were considered to be men of great zeal. And very, very few of those men stayed with the truth. Many of those men disappeared. Some of the more calmer, maybe their deliveries in terms of public speaking weren't that exciting, were faithful to the truth to the end. So you have to be very careful. Americans, we look visually and we're impressed by the bang, the woo, big pow. I told you before, and I love to tell the story, and I heard it from a tour guide in Budapest in Hungary and a tour guide in Germany. And I asked the tour guides, you know, when I visit with these men, or it could be a woman, it's kind of one-on-one. I hire them for the day and I get a lot out of them. And I'll say, well, how do you view the American? Because the Americans come in groups. And it was normally the same response. Americans are very friendly. They tip well. They like that. But they like big things. You know, they want to see the biggest building. Or they want to see the place where the most people were killed. So when we have meetings with the other tour guides in the summertime and all the Americans are coming over and we love to give them tours, we tell the other guides, emphasize the boom, whoa! You know, that's how you satisfy the Americans. There's much to be said for a quiet zeal. Women can be very dedicated and have a meek and quiet spirit, but be very zealous as well. So let's understand what we're talking about today. But I have all these synonyms: ardor, determination. I like that as a good synonym for zeal, diligence. I like the word passion myself. I wanted to entitle the message today, Passion, and I'll use that a lot. Unfortunately, in our hyper-sexed American culture, too often passion is used as a sexual expression, and that's sad. It's sad, because it's a great word. There's an intensity. I like the word dispatch. We'll see that. Dispatch means you move quickly on it. Once you know what to do, and once you have an assignment, or you understand God's will, you move quickly on it. You don't wait around, okay? You don't drift. I like the word drive. I like the word hustle. Mr. Carlson spoke, I don't know, a year or two ago about Pete Rose and how Pete Rose, the baseball player, his father taught him always run to first base. It's a great little article, and he stood out. He was known as Mr. Hustle in the baseball world. Stole bases, good hitter, but he always hustled on the base paths, never just walked to first base, you know. Initiative. I like the word push. Push is a type of zeal. I need to push myself to overcome certain issues. Resolve, as he was talking about yesterday, you have to enact a pushing. You push, right? Whether you're in a good mood or a bad mood, you push yourself. Whether you're tired or you have great energy levels, you push, you push, you push. We've all been to a funeral or even a wedding where maybe we didn't want to go. Not that you didn't like the people, but you just didn't feel like it. Or it was at a time of the day or you had to drive a long distance and I don't feel like it. But you push yourself, right? You drive yourself. That's how you display zeal. It's a wonderful quality. There's a health food market chain. I think many of you would recognize the name. I know they have one in Oklahoma. They have one here. It's called Sprouts. It's like a Whole Foods, but it's kind of the Walmart version of Whole Foods. It's a little less expensive. I'm there all the time shopping for healthy stuff at a discount. But I go to Whole Foods a lot. I go there 4 or 5 times a week because it's near where I live. But when I first went there, there was a woman. I'm terrible with ages. My guess is she could be anywhere from 40 to 55. You can never tell how old women are. You all look about the same, frankly. You know, okay, I know Zoe's 20-ish or something. Beyond that, everybody looks the same. You know, y'all look about 45, okay? But I would notice her. And I didn't notice her really. It wasn't that she was unattractive. She's just kind of your average-looking person. I'm sure she, frankly, had a few more pounds than her others. But I liked the way she moved. And I thought, why is my eye sometimes drawn to her? The way she worked the store, you could tell she was a good worker. You could just see it in her movement. You know, she was friendly, and I got to talk with her, and she was married, and she had been a bartender. A likable person, but it's the way she moves. But over time, she went from a standard just working in the store to now she is one of the managers in the store 3-4 years later. I don't see her as much because I tend to go there at night. I think she works during the day, but it doesn't surprise me at all. She was a little bit quicker, a little bit sharper. There was just that intangible zeal there, diligence, a hard worker, you know, and we're all impressed by people who are good workers. So let's talk about the subject today because it greatly pleases God. And everybody has an area in their lives where they need to show more zeal. You have to have zeal to overcome. You're never going to overcome human weaknesses or sin without zeal, right? My weaknesses cannot be addressed without zeal. You know, the Bible talks a lot about fighting, how we're to put on the helmet of salvation and we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You have to have a zeal. You have to have an energy. That's a very important part of life. You've got to teach your kids how to have zeal, how to have good work habits, how to deal with situations. Zeal is very, very important to God. It pleases Him. And the first and great commandment is we must love our Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and might. So if I'm to perfect myself, if I'm to get the leaven out of my life, I have to have that mindset. It's an attitude of mind. It's a certain strength of the inner man, of the spirit that I need. Very important. That dynamic needs to be present. So let's go into the subject today. And I really would ask that you would take a look at yourself, ask God for greater energy and zeal because it's very, very pleasing to Him. As a matter of fact, He can be very angry with us when he sees half-heartedness, and he hates the Laodicean world we live in. Laodicea is all around us, half-hearted, kind of sloppy, hit and miss. And we don't want to evidence that in our personal lives with God, because the quickest way not to get answers to your prayers is just to have Laodicean prayers. Just go lukewarm with the prayers, hit and miss. Don't expect answers to your prayers. Prayer has to be focused and intense. Very, very, very important to God. So I had another handout for you, James 5 and verse 16. James 5 and verse 16. I love the way the Amplified Bible, you got to be careful with the Amplified Bible, but they do a good job with James 5 and verse 16. Now, the context is actually healing. So this applies to the subject of healing, but it applies to any request we bring before our God. We're to go boldly before God. We're to have energy. We're to be clear in our requests. There needs to be a zeal, or there certainly needs to be a passion. God is very responsive to passionate prayers. He likes passionate people. And I believe often when prayers are not answered, or it seems like you go forever without getting the answer, more often than not, there's a lack of heat. That passion isn't there. It's not that your request is wrong or selfish or maybe not God's will. The passion isn't there. God's very responsive to passion. Now, any woman can tell you when she starts to date or meets a young man or an old man, and there's interest, she wants to see passion. She wants to see intensity. And I understand there are different personalities here, okay? So I realize personalities are different. But she wants to see consistency. She wants to see something from the heart because God designed her that way. It's pursuit. God wants to be pursued. He's never to be taken for granted. He must constantly be pursued with passion. It's very important to him. Sometimes the sin is one of lukewarmness. It is one of the most dangerous sins because it's a violation of the great commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and might. There's a movie I never thought I'd recommend, but I would recommend men to see the movie, and I'm recommending the TV version, because I don't know what the DVD version is, and I want to recommend that movie. And I just thought it was so effective in displaying how a man passionately pursues a woman, which God created that. Men, whether you like it or not, but I think most men have that in them, certainly when they're dating. I'll mention the movie later. But God makes us thus, but he must be pursued with passion. Take a look at your unanswered prayers. If I were a betting man, more often than not, they have not been answered in a timely fashion because there's been a lack of passion. Very important to him. He is a God of zeal. His spirit, though it's displayed as water, but even water has a refreshing, zealous component, right? It's cool, flowing, a river of flowing water, running water. The Spirit of God is displayed sometimes as fire on Pentecost, tongues of fire, okay? There's an energy there that God wants his people to have. So let's just take a look at some of the scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, for years, was just a favorite scripture because it gave me hope. During any time of great stress or trouble or discouragement, I could go to this particular passage, knowing I could engage God, but I had to engage him in a certain way. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I think one of the reasons God chose imperfect, at times sinful, at times vain, Herbert Armstrong, he's a very passionate man. He wrote, read his articles, look at his headlines. Passionate, alive. He was a great headline writer. It was real. It was from his heart. He was a very passionate man. and very expressive. And God used that about him. Wasn't a perfect man. We know that. Back to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, so whatever you come to God about in prayer, you must believe that he is, and all of you believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of those who zealously seek him, diligently seek him, push to get their requests met, strive, determine to see that those requests are met. Jacob wrestled all night. God loves zeal in his people. He loves that passion. He loves quick dispatch, hustle, initiative, all these different words that really showcase it. So let us take a look at our lives during the days of unleavened bread and see where we can increase the heat. So important. You go to Revelation chapter 3, and God is so angry with the church at the time of the end. Why? They are lukewarm. He hates it. So much so, he spits them out of his mouth. You've ever tasted something and could be lukewarm, it just has a funny, weird taste. You know it's not right. You spit it out. He hates it. See, we can have all the doctrines and keep the holy days, but if our mind, our attitudes are ho-hum, this is very dangerous and not pleasing to God. So verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. Remember, he rewards those who diligently seek him. So that's important, very important. Find a way to express your dedication to God. And we're all different in personality, okay? So I'm not talking about a zeal where you're yelling or shouting, or I think even in the church, people were considered zealous if they lectured somebody else. We had a lot of self-righteous people in the church. Come on. You know we did. If you're in the church for any period, a lot of self-righteous, pain in the buttocks type people, because they define zeal as going around and lecturing people. And that isn't God's way. There may be that you can lecture people when much of the time you approach people with humility. And then occasionally when you're going to lecture, you've laid the groundwork of love and concern. Then you can lecture them. So let's take a look at some of these wonderful examples. When I think of zeal, I think of Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, where Jesus Christ, we're told, rose up early. Way before sunrise. Now, I know there are some people are night people and some people are early morning people. Find out what you are, but seek out God at that time that works for you and make it a regular habit of your life. Simple things here, but so easy to drift away from pursuing God. But Jesus Christ would do that. There was a zeal there. He wanted the contact. He didn't engage in early morning prayer to somehow impress God. He wanted that contact. You have to desire zeal. You can't fake it with God. You have to want it. This is so important because the better defined your zeal is, the sharpened pencil of zeal gets so much more done in your life. You will see, and I will see, God act on a more regular basis in our lives according to the thermostat of zeal. If you've been going through a period of time where you just seem to be in a rut, God is not the problem. Turn up the temperature. We have a wonderful God and he's very responsive to it. So I love that example in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Okay, how can I fine-tune my prayer life? Not necessarily pray more, but find that time and stick to it. Be so diligent about not breaking ranks with the time you set aside when it comes to zeal. Here's a zealous example. Let's go to 2 Kings 4. I don't know the name of the woman, but it's a very good example. 2 Kings 4. It's this woman, And Elisha is dealing with her. It's a time of great famine. And Elisha tells the woman, God will bless you. But the degree of the blessing applies to the degree of the zeal. This can be a little bit discouraging, but it should be ultimately very encouraging. The blessings will grow in your life according to the degree of the zeal with which you engage God. Blessings will increase. God is not against giving us more blessings. He is not a stingy God. He's very generous. But the zeal must be there. The passion, the intensity must be present. Chapter 4, 2 Kings. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out. Her husband was dead, so she's in a terrible way. The creditor is coming to take my two sons. Very serious. So Elisha said to her, what do you want me to do? Tell me. And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Very poor. Then Elisha said to her, go borrow vessels from everywhere. Not a couple of people, everywhere. Put energy, put zeal into those vessels. So brethren, in your life, as you make requests, your requests to God are so important because you need to see him working in your life. And if he's not, most of the time, not in every situation, but most of the time, lack of zeal is usually the problem. Zeal is not there. I'd rather use the word passion isn't there. Because we live in a world, constant distraction. We're mentally, emotionally fatigued. There's so many inputs and stimulus. It's an angry world. People are fighting with one another. People fight with their neighbors at work. Satan wants you to fight with your spouse. So there's all this static and stress. And you only have so much bandwidth, and it's hard to be zealous when emotionally and mentally all the energy sucked from you, right? It's hard to maintain a level of zeal. Oh, is it rewarded? Oh, is it rewarded? Remember, God rewards those who zealously, passionately seek him. There's great hope in this, great hope. But there's also correction. So let us be corrected. This is a good thing because hope is right around the corner. So, in verse 3, get as many empty vessels as you can, and it's up to her. The reason people don't have more blessings in their lives, I'm using the shortcut here. I know we could find all different reasons, but I believe one of the prime reasons may be the great reason, they ask for blessings, they don't follow through their requests with zeal and passion, day after day if necessary. Somewhere along the line, the passion fades. The paint becomes dull. Jesus Christ, the paint was never dull. His passion never faded. But remember, here was a man who constantly kept in touch with his father every day, found a way to get away, to be in contact with his father, to maintain that flow of God's Spirit. God blesses people. That is not the issue. The word of God is true. Okay, verse 4, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons and pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons and brought the vessels to her and she poured it out. The good thing about the story is she was zealous. But something else about the story, she could have even been more zealous. How many vessels are you going to bring to God? But you better follow through. You constantly seek out. You don't let go. You pray 7 times if you need to or more. day after day, because God rewards the zealous. God loves to see passion in his children. I love this particular story, a little insight into Abraham, who was a man of zeal. Let's go to Genesis 22. I'm just trying to get you to think, and the way I apply the lessons here would be different than somebody else, because we're all different. My weaknesses are different than yours, but there are certain things I say, well, how come there's not a breakthrough here? How come I'm not making more progress? Now, zeal is often part of the answers to why not. I love the topic because you can turn things around quickly, brethren. Turn up the heat. We can all turn things around in our lives much more quickly. Okay, Genesis 22, you see this wonderful man, Abraham, who is now told he needs to sacrifice his son. Chapter 22 and verse 1, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. You know, like Corey was talking about, you know, how God will watch and God will test in all different ways, whether it's an offering or your children at the store. You know, you'll watch, you'll look, right? Because he loves us. So not every request is immediately answered. Don't get discouraged. That's where our culture really does a lot of harm. If things don't happen immediately, we tend toward discouragement. Bring in those vessels. In verse 2, then he said, now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. There wasn't much more instruction other than that. He did not know what was going to happen. But it was now his time to either obey or disobey. He had a relationship with God for years now. And what does he do? That's why I like that synonym for zeal. It's a way to show it is you dispatch. Once you know what God wants you to do, you do it quickly. If you need to apologize to your spouse, do it quickly. If you need to pray more, you go home tonight and you pray more tonight. You see? If you need to have more Bible study in your life, tomorrow morning, you get up a half an hour earlier and you dispatch quickly with what you need to change. And when God sees that, he loves that in his children. What do I need to dispatch more quickly in my life? Verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning. He didn't wait 2 or 3 days. He didn't wait till midday. He didn't agonize, though this was hard for him. He got right to it. That's wonderful. That's a type of zeal. I love this story in Mark 16. So let's go to the book of Mark 16. In verse 9, I love the story because Jesus Christ knew exactly to whom he would give the honor of appearing to first in all the humans of that day and age. And who did he choose to appear to first? Not his physical mother, not John who leaned upon his breast and he was close with John, not Peter, not any of his other friends. Who does he appear to first? Verse 9. Now when he, Mark 16, 9, when he, Christ, rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, the woman who had 7 demons cast out of her. Could you imagine knowing her when she had 7 demons? Frightening, strange, weird. But she was zealous. She was around that tomb. Now, other ladies came as well, but you have to take a look at the sequence of events. It was her love that drove her to be more zealous, and she's alone. And he appears to her first, and she will, of course, go down in history as the first to whom he appeared to. What an honor. But that zeal to be at that tomb when all the others were not. You see her zeal? See her passion for her Lord? And she never anticipated seeing him. So God sees zeal. He rewards it. He loves it. Very important to understand that. So many different examples here, so I need to pick and choose. I love this in the book of Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 2, another example of zeal. So how can you recalibrate your way of going to your God and intensify the zeal or demonstrate it to him? Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, when Christ entered into Capernaum after some days and it was heard that he was in the house, immediately many gathered together. Was this Peter's house? I believe it was Peter's house. I have to double check because Peter lived in Capernaum. So they all gather around the house, and it was so crowded, people in the house and outside. My guess, you probably had 200, maybe 300 people in and around the house, maybe more. And they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men who had passion for their friend. It's wonderful when you have friends and they stand around you during a time of trial and say, hey, we're here with you. Let's go. Let's move. We're right there with you. What wonderful friends. And they came to him bringing a paralytic who carried by the four men, and they could not come near him because of the crowd. So in their zeal, in their determination, in their resolve, as was spoken about yesterday, they had resolve. No way were they not going to get right in front of Christ. Let's do it. Let's get it done. God loves that spirit. Your prayers don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. But be zealous and passionate. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. This had to be just spectacular to see in real time. So they come down through the roof and they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And God blessed them for their zeal. And faith is so closely related to zeal. Faith and zeal are first cousins. Resolve and zeal are brothers. You see, they're all part of the same family. And love, their love for their friend, drove them. The best type of zeal is driven by love. The best type of zeal is driven by love for someone else. Christ, in his zeal and his resolve, gave himself because he loved us and he loved the Father. God's very responsive. You would almost say, but I'm exaggerating, that type of passion is almost irresistible to God. God loves humility. Okay, I'm being a little silly here, but I would say God loves humility first. I would say coming in a very close second is passion. So let us be more passionate with our God who wants to have an intense, passionate relationship. You got to work at it. Okay, he doesn't do it for us. We have to work at it. We have to pursue him. We have to grab a hold of him. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29, Jeremiah 29. Can we sin in being Laodicean? Yes, Laodicean lukewarmness, dragging your feet, half-heartedness, maybe kinda, two or three times give up. All of that comes from a lukewarm spirit, and when we are lukewarm, we are not loving our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might. He demands might in that relationship. He demands it. So with work or sports, you will usually see the one who has the good work ethics, those people are greatly valued and appreciated. Some of the best athletes in the world, or some of the better athletes, aren't always the most talented. They just have a great work ethic. Okay, some of the people you work with or you've known over the years, they may not be the brightest bulb in the group, but you love, don't you? You just naturally respect a good work ethic. He will bless you But all of us must turn up that thermostat of passion, zeal, determination, however you choose to define it for you. I like push. There's a right sense of push. I need to push myself. Jeremiah 29. Now this is gold. Some scriptures are absolute gold. Verse 12. Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. But what is he looking for before he tells me or you that he's listening? Verse 13. If you seek me, seeking with zeal, seeking, the word is energized, a movement. If you're energized, passionate toward me, if you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. God wants to continually be passionately pursued. He wants that intense relationship. It's not boring to him, but you've got to put energy into it. You've got to recalibrate. You've got to constantly stir yourself up. It's not easy to maintain a high level of zeal. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. It's a struggle, but God will help us. It's not natural in most human beings. Have you ever noticed people are very zealous about their hobbies? Whatever they like. It could be guns. It could be bowling. It could be growing plants. It could be softball or sports. Isn't it interesting? I mean, people love their hobbies, right? You can spend hours. You get lost. God created us that way. Hobbies are not wrong. But God wants to see intensity. And we have to work with that. Verse 6 of 2 Timothy. And Timothy's being gently corrected. Timothy's a man of high, high character. Paul calls him my son. I mean, there was a father-son relationship, not a bloodline, but he truly was a son. Probably in that life, you may have been right if you'd said of all the people that Paul loved and was closest to, that something about Timothy, a good young man, a man who feared God, a man who loved God, was a lot younger. Paul was ready to die, and you know, Paul is just giving Timothy some instruction. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, therefore I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. We all have to stir up certain elements about ourselves, whatever your gift is. Sometimes your Bible study, you need to stir yourself up, maybe get up a little bit earlier, maybe study a different subject. You keep stoking the fire. You got to work at it. I think we all understand that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. This is very interesting. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. Zeal, stirring up. It's talking about gifts. All these different gifts that God will give to people if they seek out the gifts. And there are all these different manifestations. There's a gift of faith, the gift of healings, the gift of discerning of spirits. All these different gifts, he goes through this in chapter 12. But then in verse 31, he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And if you go through the chapter, you see that gifts are given, but you must earnestly desire the gifts. You have to go after the gifts. You have to pray for them and work on the gift and continue to stay in close contact with God to have the gift. Very interesting that when we desire things from God, we have to go after them with zeal and you have to be earnest. Not a word we use much in our culture today, but means you have to really go after it with great sincerity, but also great drive. Very important. Psalm 76. Psalm 76. Psalm 76. So this clock is off an hour, right? Okay. I thought I have 2 hours for it to go here. Daylight savings time and back and forth. Are we on true time? Is this the way it should be? I always forget. I don't know. I mean, I like when the sun sets later, but Psalm 76, Important to understand what takes place here in the psalm. Psalm 76. Again, we're dealing with zeal. We're dealing with that passion that God wants to see in his people. Psalm 76. And verse 11. Make vows to the Lord, or make promises or pledges. You don't have to make a vow, but it could be a pledge or a promise, which we all do. I think sometimes during the days of unleavened bread, I often will say, well, God, I'm going to do this, or I'll focus on this over the next year. But pay them. To make a promise requires zeal, intensity. It's a form, it's a show of intensity. I'm not telling you to make a vow. I don't think it's wrong to make a pledge or a promise to God. I will do things differently this year. I'm really going to work on this over the next few months. Or I will draw closer to you. Or I will improve my focus with Bible study. Whatever it is, make your pledge. Ask God to bless you. See, incorporated in the pledge, you also ask for a blessing. There's a fascinating exchange passage in the book of Jonah. When Jonah ends up in the belly of the great fish, he makes a vow. But he also, in the belly, expects as a result of the vow to be blessed. That's how he understood it. Vows are there so you will be blessed. But you have to follow through on the vow, and I'd rather use the word pledge, because vows are the most intense form of dedication to God, and not that they're wrong, but you need to be very, very careful. You can pledge or promise. That is not wrong. It expresses a type of zeal, right? One of my favorites, I go to this a lot, but I just think it's so effective in showing how God thinks. 2 Kings 13. I'll just keep going here again and again. You know, it's like I had a ribeye last night, and I'm going to have a ribeye again today. Okay, not wrong to have a ribeye back to back. Scriptures are that way. I mean, if there's a good scripture, you keep going after it. It doesn't bother me. You want to mention it 10 Sabbaths in a row, have at it. This is so important to understand this, because this is how God works. God loves passion, doesn't he? He loves passion. It's a beautiful thing to him. So this is at the end of the life of Elisha. Elisha is trying to convey to the king of Israel that God will bless you according to how many arrows you shoot or strike. So understand, God will give you victory over your enemies to the degree of zeal you show in using this ritual of sorts of the arrows, just like the woman. I'll bless you with even more the more vessels you gather. Okay? So let's pick up the story. In verse 15, chapter 13. 2 Kings. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. This is the prophet of the Lord. It's clear, look, what you do with these arrows will be the degree to which I will bless the nation under your leadership as you fight against your enemy here, okay, the Syrians. So they go through this. And verse 17, and he said, open the east window, and he opened it. And then Elisha said, shoot. So you shoot towards the enemy. It had great meaning, great symbolism. And he shot, and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. So the arrow represented God giving them victory, degrees of victory. You could have great victory. You could wipe them all out if you want to, or wipe out half of them. It was a brutal time. Those were evil people. Okay? And you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. God wanted to maximize the blessing of victory. But the king is lukewarm. He's kind of out of touch. He doesn't get it. And verse 18, then he said, take the arrows. So the king takes the arrows, Now it's up to his level of initiative and zeal and passion in shooting the arrows. And he said to the king, strike the ground. Okay, do what you need to do. And he struck the ground 3 times and he stopped. It is absolutely true in every case of every person here. You could have received greater degree of blessing, but for whatever reason, you stopped striking the ground. No exceptions here. God is that big. Doesn't mean life's going to be easy. There will be the trials, but there are also the blessings. And the man of God, Elisha, was angry with him, and he said, you should have in zeal or passion or determination or push, you should have struck 5 or 6 times, then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. Weak faith. Not a total absence of faith, but weak faith. Weak faith is usually accompanied almost always with lack of zeal. Weak faith doesn't mean a total absence of faith, is usually also accompanied with lack of passion. So let us learn how to have that greater passion in our lives, because God is so pleased with it, but you have to work at it. And then you can do as Nehemiah did. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, which is not wrong to do. Let's go to Nehemiah, who in an incredible 52 days built the wall around Jerusalem in record time against opposition during a time of scarcity, a very difficult environment, during a time when there was complaining and everything else. But he was very effective in what he was able to do, and God greatly blessed him. But he was a man of great passion and zeal. He wanted to see that wall built around Jerusalem, and God blessed him. I think it's one of the best books in all of the Bible. There's so many lessons in this book. But throughout, he will say to his God, as you and I can say as well, verse 31, the final verse, when we do God's will and we are zealous in what we're trying to do, we can say to God, remember me, O my God, for good. Remember me, O God, verse 29, because I went about the task at hand with great zeal. Verse 22, remember me, O my God, concerning this also. Verse 14, remember me, O my God, concerning this. And you'll see this throughout Nehemiah. I'm going after this with zeal. Bless me. Bless me. It is not wrong to say, Father, I have been zealous in this. Bless me. That is not wrong at all. That's not a lack of humility. Okay, I need to close here. If you lack the physical energy, because sometimes I think zeal, it does depend to a degree on our physical energy. You know, when you're tired and worn out, I mean, it is hard to be more zealous. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Let's go to Deuteronomy 34. God is not a respecter of persons. Now, health needs to be worked at. And sometimes that health comes in stages. Sometimes it can come immediately. But it can certainly start to improve today. We all know what it's like when you're tired and you're irritable and you just don't have the energy, you don't get as much done. You tend to become more negative. Energy is important. It's a very, very important part of life, isn't it? We're physical. We're like batteries. I'm always looking to see how I can increase my energy, and I have to be careful with my diet, and I'll do this and I won't do that. But if I do what I'm supposed to do, my energy levels are much, much better. But I have to be really strict with my diet. Maybe you don't have to be, but I have to be, whether I like it or not. Or else I'm up and down with my energy. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7. Verse 7, Deuteronomy 34, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, and his natural vigor was not diminished. Ask God for vigor. He'll give it to you. He can bless you. He can bless you greatly. So let's go back to that quotation in James, and I'll wrap it up here. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Now, it's talking about healing, and it applies to this because it's talking about prayer, but it can apply in so many different other areas. Confess yourself one to another. Confess your faults, your sins. And remember that the earnest, the heartfelt, continued prayer, that's a good translation, because what that original language means is that Elijah prayed, he double prayed, like he was constantly squeezing the ball. It kept it going, wouldn't let go, squeeze, 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 squeeze. Prayer of a righteous man, it doesn't mean you're perfect. We're all righteous, brethren, because Christ died for us. You're all righteous, okay? Not because of self-effort, because of the blood of Christ. This is a very good translation. The prayer that is heartfelt and intense and passionate makes tremendous power available. Very good translation. Dynamic in its working. Now, sometimes the Amplified Bible can be way off, but sometimes they hit a home run. They hit a home run here. And God is telling you, be fervent in your prayer. Be passionate, because when you are, power, the power of God then opens up to you from the heavens. And big requests are granted, and strength of character is given. I mean, healing is literally a power event. When that person is healed, you don't see the energy going into that person. There's literal energy going into that person. That's why Christ, when they touched him, he felt power leave him. Just we haven't been able to pick it up yet, but it's there, and it literally heals. It just withers the infection or the disease. It just dies in the presence of that energy. So I wanted to give you a couple of translations regarding that. God loves zeal. It's very pleasing to him. We're to hunger and thirst for it. He will give it to you. Doesn't come immediately. Sometimes you have to fight for it. You have to spend extra time in contact with him. Ask him for more. Pray a little more. But more importantly, when you study your Bible, when I study or pray, don't be distracted. Give God your undivided attention. If God puts so much emphasis on passion and zeal and diligence, if you ask for it, he will certainly give it to you. But it takes a little bit of time. Not everything is overnight. And the rewards are enormous, because it is those diligent, effectual, fervent, zealous, passionate prayers, and they avail much. And God does not lie.